Trista Crick going to join us actually right now.
Hey, hey.
TK live from
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. Portland, all right. Oregon. She just finds different places to join us from. TK, you're going to hate the conversation we're having right now. Hate.
What is it?
Zach LaVine went for 43 last night. TK wants to leave.
Well, look, can I ask her, because I spoke on your behalf the other day when it comes to Zach LaVine, and now you have an opportunity to speak for yourself. You know who. You know ball. I think you look at Zach LaVine, and when you say you don't like him, I don't think you're talking about his talent level. Like, I just laid out, there might not be 20 guys physically that can do what he does in the league. It's not talent. It's trusting him as an individual that turns you off from Zach LaVine. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, Zach LaVine's very skilled. I would never say, oh, I don't like what he has in his toolbox. His toolbox has never really been the issue. He's got pretty much every tool in there except for what to me is one of the greatest tools a basketball player can have, which is, you know, good decision making and a high basketball IQ. Now, that's a great game for Zach LaVine. And I think the thing that you have to mention is this is a playoff team that the Kings beat.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, that's you got the win, most importantly. I don't care if Zach LaVine gets 50 points in a loss against a bottom feeder team or a win against a bottom feeder team. It's playing a team that likes to find you in the middle of the dark alley with a sock full of pennies or marbles in the Detroit Pistons, and that's who they are.
That's dark. That is a dark analogy. Dark.
That's Detroit Pistons right there. That's who they are. They're the kind of, they're gully, you know. And so
gully,
they are. And so to me, the Pistons getting a win against the Pistons, no matter how it shakes out, is impressive. And to do it with that stat line is 8 for 11 from three is incredible. 16 for 28, also efficient as hell. So, yeah, I mean, we love to see that. I want to see Zach LaVine do that on a consistent basis. But that game alone, yes, absolutely. Give him his flowers. Deserves it on all accounts. Really nothing you can say.
Well, it's negative. I think the, you know, beating Detroit is fantastic. It's even more fantastic when it's the night after you go for 37 and you beat Cleveland for the second time this year. And I think we asked ourselves yesterday going into that game, because it was like, oh, it's great they beat Cleveland. Boy, it would be really amazing if they beat Detroit. We don't really think that's going to happen. We've seen too many of these second night letdowns. But now, you know, the postseason and the next three games not mattering fall in the hands of our Dubs. Our Dubs take care of Phoenix tonight, and it's a wrap. And the Kings are locked into the 10th spot. But to follow that 37-point performance with a performance that was even better, like very literally the next night, man, that puts that game for Zach LaVine and really the Sacramento Kings in general in an even, you know, kind of higher echelon.
And we didn't even mention this because it also needs to be mentioned, is it's on the road. You're talking about two hostile environments. Mm-hmm. Cleveland's a very tough place to play. Those fans really care. That's one of the best environments that I've been to in a finals ever in my life. They're awesome. Detroit, one of my favorite environments. I don't know why more people don't talk about Little Caesars Arena. That's an awesome environment.
Yeah,
it could have been fuller last night. It could have been fuller.
Definitely. Definitely. I saw the only game that I've seen there live was Pistons versus Warriors. And it was packed out. And the way that they've designed that arena is incredible. They've got this like little seating area, kind of like the Aces have in their arena in Michelob, where you've got couches and tables and like little booths where you can eat baseline. I think that's really cool. There's a huge candy machine. The environment's really cool. And the fans, like you said, probably could have been there in a higher volume, but the environment itself is pretty great.
But I will say this, Trista, and this is what I said when I asked you about Zach LaVine. Your point still stands, though. Like, you just don't know what Zach LaVine you're going to get from night to night, and that's the frustrating thing about it. I see it. I understand it. I still like him a little bit more maybe than you do, but I get it. Like, if he, we've been talking about the level of aggression, you know, is FGAs, you know what I mean? Like some night he'll have 9, they'll have 28 the next night. And it's like, if he came and had this epiphany and said, man, I promise everybody I'm going to shoot at least 18 times a night. I don't think anybody would have any problem with Zach LaVine no more, but you just don't know what Zach you're getting from night to night. And that is frustrating. I understand that.
Yeah. You look at the Magic game on the 29th, he only took 8 shots and had 10 points, only played 29 minutes, but still. And then you juxtapose that with, you know, 21 shots against the Cavs, 28 shots against the Pistons. And you're like, that's more like it. We need, and if you're the Kings and if you're a Kings fan, you need somebody who you can say that is our primary scorer on this team on a night-to-night basis. Yes, is it great that a team like the Pacers, anybody can get you 25 on any given night? Absolutely. Is that something that you want if you're a Kings fan? Sure. But you also want to feel steady and solid in that there's one guy that we know is going to shoot this amount of times per game, and he's our primary option, our primary scorer. And Zach LaVine is plenty skilled enough to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of whether he is comfortable doing that on a night-to-night basis. And I hope that I really hope I'm wrong about him. I really do, for you guys' sake.
Up next for the Sacramento Kings, David Adelman and the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, man.
Your thoughts on the news that your buddy Sham Sharania broke today, that Michael Malone and Calvin Booth, the general manager of the Denver Nuggets, are out effective immediately?
I don't get it. I get Calvin Booth being gone. I think I'm the front of the line trying to get rid of Calvin Booth.
I thought about you when I saw that. I was like, well, Trista was right. Trista's always told me he sucks, so I understand it.
He's awful. And he's always sweating. You can tell he's just not ready. Oh, man. He's always.
Leave the brother's perspiration habits alone.
So I've been calling for Calvin Booth to get the axe since they let Bruce Brown and Jeff Green go. And then the KCP, and then just some of the moves that didn't get made and the draft selections. And just kind of his rationale for everything that he did or did not do, what he said about Bruce Brown, about Jeff Green. Basically, we can have any of these guys on the end of our bench do exactly what these guys have done. Mm. So I didn't like him at all. I don't like his perspective. I don't like his decision-making. And I think he basically ate off of what Tim Connelly did. Mm. Tim Connelly, obviously the Timberwolves president of basketball operations now. He is who drafted Jokic. He is who went out and made the trade for Aaron Gordon. He is who did pretty much everything that got the Nuggets their championship. But also we know that one person or one team gets the ingredients and the other person and their staff cook the ingredients. And the meals that got us the championship were done by executive chef Michael Malone. Please say the Michael. So to me, it feels like some inner office squabbling I'm somewhat of a single or an only child. I have two sisters that are 9 and 10 years older. But I imagine if there's kids who are around the same age, they're like, oh, he did it. No, he did it. It's like, well, you guys are both grounded. That's basically what it felt like. It was like, I can't decipher. You say you hate Michael Malone, because that's what the chatter is. Michael Malone didn't like Calvin Booth. Fair. Calvin Booth didn't like Michael Malone. So they're going to ownership, complaining about one another all the time, fighting all the time, smack-talking each other behind each other's backs, knifing each other. And the ownership basically said, okay, well, we'll just fire both of you. That is a mistake, in my opinion, especially this is a team that's in the 4 seed, 1.5 games out of the 3 seed, 3 games left in the season. To do this now feels insane. So that's part one. But part two is we need to start holding these owners accountable. When they win a title, mm-hmm. Stan Kroenke, and whatever the hell his son's name is that's also running the team. I want to say it's like David. I don't know. Whatever his bitch-ass name is.
Man.
You have a responsibility to pay the guap to run it back. That's what you have to do. If you're not willing to do what it takes, sell the damn team. Whit Grusbeck, I think he saw the current owner of the Boston Celtics, saw the writing on the wall where he's going to have to pay $500 million or whatever it is every year in salary. He said, you know what? I got my title. Awesome news. The buck passes to this other dude that's now going to – I'm going to sell the team for $6 billion and now I'm going to ride off into the sunset. The Gronkies always do this. They go all in. They win a chip. And then they get cheap again. They did it with the Rams. They went all in. Now we don't know really what they're doing. I think he did that with soccer as well. I'm not up as much on what he's up to on the soccer game. But this is what's happening with the Denver Nuggets as well. If I'm Jokic, I'm absolutely pissed. Just, I don't know what you guys are doing. I don't have faith in this organization to make the right decision at all. And I know that we can't win with just me and Jamal. As good as we are, we need some depth. And they don't have any. And now I'm wondering what we're looking at in the offseason, who the potential hire could be, what the plan is, because they came out and said we're hoping to win a 2025 championship. How is firing the guy that got you a championship getting you any closer to that goal in this playoff situation? I don't know. As you can tell, I'm stunned.
Everybody's stunned. It's crazy that you would do this in general. Like, I don't think, we've talked about, I've taken, little shots at Michael Malone or whatever, but the guy's a great coach. He's an absolute great coach. And whatever you're trying to do, whether you're trying to contend or even if you want to rebuild, you need to have Michael Malone there for that. So that in general is crazy. But the fact that you do this a week before the playoffs start is just loony. Like, that's just like, talk about a press conference. I do need to hear from Kroenke in this situation.
Oh,
if I'm
wow.
a Nuggets fan.
Now all of a sudden,
no.
Kenny wants a press conference.
No, if I'm a Nuggets
wow.
fan, I need to hear
Kenny,
from him.
Kenny, what's it matter? What's it change, Kenny? What's it change?
I need to know. I need to know what you're doing.
Well, how the turntables
a week before the playoffs? Oh, yeah, no, you got to answer to me. You got to answer to me.
We need answers.
But you're right. It doesn't change anything. But, yeah, it's just crazy, man. It's just crazy that the timing of it all as well.
I thought Shams was legitimately hacked.
For the second time this year.
Man, Shams is having a rough year if that's a that's the case.
I wish he had
followed it up. No, this is real.
Yeah, right.
I have not been hacked. I clicked his profile just to make sure it wasn't the fake Shams Charania.
Mm. Well, that's the funny part. That those are the funny things that we do. We get alerts from one account. One, the real Shams Charania. That's what sends the push notification. We're not scrolling the timeline and getting fooled.
Right.
You get a push notification from one single account, and it's Shams. But every time the news is so unbelievable, you click it and then make sure... No, that's him. Nope. Luka's a Laker. No, nope. Michael Malone is fired.
Crazy.
And this has been my point all day. Trista comes out and talks about Michael Malone and Calvin Booth and how everybody may feel about that, how the organization may feel about that. And say it again. Shut the hell up. Make sure your house is clean before you start talking about other people's houses. Michael Malone couldn't wait to talk when Mike Brown was fired. He couldn't wait to tell everyone that the Sacramento Kings had no class and no balls and how this is going to be such a great moment for Mike Brown. Bro, make your bed, vacuum your carpet, and push the dishes away because your house is a mess. And we found that out today.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't have said anything, considering that Sweaty Booth over there
was
playing Littlefinger in the background trying to orchestrate a coup.
Littlefinger, you know, is a Game of Thrones reference. I only know that because James Hamm taught me that.
I've heard it. I've heard the reference
from James Hamm.
I guess,
sure.
Yeah, probably so. Jazz watches Game of Thrones, but I'm never talk about it.
I tried to watch it once, confused the hell out of me. I did not know what was going on. Are you a Game of Thrones fan, or do you just know the reference?
I watched every season. I watched the prequel.
Oh.
Both seasons of those. So I'm eight.
Well, that sounds like a fan.
Yeah, you locked in. You tapped in.
I'm nine seasons in, so I think I'm a fan. Yeah, I'd say I'm a fan. I'm multifaceted. I like Game of Thrones. I like Snowfall.
Yeah, that's all good.
It's all good.
Did you watch White Lotus?
I watched White Lotus.
White Lotus is fire.
I haven't. Everybody talks about how great it is.
Good show.
Yeah.
Ended this weekend. Good show.
Did the other thing about what Damien said about Michael Malone making sure your house is clean before you talk about others? Even if your house is clean, their house ain't got nothing to do with my house, so I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut. That's not none of my business. They ask you the question. Now, you can't keep somebody from asking you a question. But they ask you a question at the press conference. Hey, what's your thought on Mike Brown firing? Or if Doug Christie gets asked tomorrow, hey, what's your thought on Mike? You know what? It's none of my business. It's none of my business. Game. I wish him the best in his future endeavors. That's none of my business.
I just hope people. Trista just laid out everything with Calvin Booth and Michael Malone. I sure hope other people do that, because y'all had the conversation surrounding Mike Brown's firing and Taylor Jenkins firing were very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
You fired Michael Malone when this team was 13-18, and y'all were confused. Y'all were mad.
Mad. Big man.
Y'all fired Taylor Jenkins when they're in like the 3 seed. They've plummeted ever since. And you're like, gosh, why would they do such a thing? I don't understand. All right.
Big mad. Have a lot to say about it.
All right, man. So it's a weird game, TK.
It is. And I think organizational context matters. I do want to say congratulations to my GM, Joe Cronin, on the day before Black Tuesday. We got a little extension here for Joe Cronin. Good job, I'm happy to say he'll be there for the long term. And I think he's been doing, all things considered, a phenomenal job. Yeah, Portland Trailblazers GM, Joe Cronin.
Who's the person? Let me ask you something real quick about Portland, because I was thinking about this. Who are you building around? Like
Denny.
Who? Okay.
Denny.
So let's say the big three. Scoot, Denny, Klingon, or Shaden?
I think it's really fascinating when you, and I know this is like a very niche topic, but hopefully the chatty house can appreciate just like how much the rebuild can feel good and how much a rebuild can feel bad. The thing that I feel good about this particular rebuild is there's a lot of good players. This team has there's no scrubs. There's no Rudy Fernandez, no shade to Rudy Fernandez, or Mario Hanzonia, or guys like Evan Turner. There's been a lot of years as a Portland fan where you're what Myers Leonard, Zach from Gonzaga. Zach Collins, one leg from Gonzaga. When we could have gotten John Collins, we could have gotten so many other Donovan Mitchell, excuse me. So there have been a lot of times where this team has had players that you wonder why they're on the team and what is the identity? How do they fit in? Why did we select them? Why did we trade for them? Why did we pay Evan Turner this much money? Alan Crabb, why did we pay him? Almost everyone on this Blazers roster, you know why they're there. They're either cheap and super athletic. They're either on a contract that helps you move them around for more money. They were there because Dame wanted them there, which is only one player, Jeremy Grant. Dame basically forced Portland into paying him, and then like 2 days later, maybe less, said, yeah, I'm out of here, trade me. Or they're a player that you've thought, you know, highly of, where you can build around them. And there's a lot of good players. Rob Williams is a player that has some injury issues, But when he's healthy, he can jump out of the gym and is an awesome center.
Yeah, he has a lot of injury issues, though. A
lot of injury issues. But you can maybe get a first-round pick for him. There's a lot of teams. Yeah.
Really?
They've been offered. Yeah. There's a lot of teams that need a center like him. I mean, you saw what it was even with Mark Williams in Charlotte. And I know he didn't, quote-unquote, pass his physical, but they were bending over backwards for Mark Williams. And Rob Williams is much better. You've got guys like Ayton who you just needed to try to get that Dame trade done to make the money work, right? Everything makes sense. To me, Denny, probably Shaden, and Tumani are the guys that you're really super excited about. Oh, and you could maybe say that could be – yeah, but I don't – I mean, there's – maybe yes, maybe it's four guys. I don't think in this draft you say, oh, there's a hole on this roster that we need to fill. There's plenty of guys that I think as they develop and build, like Houston did, they almost have – Houston almost has too many good players where they need to get rid of them and sort of get them into like package them into players who are veterans or – you know what I mean? Like to take them to the next level. That's what I see Portland is doing, acquiring a lot of athletic, long, bouncy, skilled guys – and seeing who comes, what comes out of that. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of good players. But I think Denny at 6'9", and what you're seeing from him, I did a deep dive on him that you can see on Instagram a couple of days ago. And then that same day, he went off of 37. Mm-hmm. I think he's averaging 24, 10, and 6 since the All-Star break.
Mm. When does their future start?
I think it kind of started now.
Okay.
This year, this is a team that we thought was going to win maybe 18 to 22 games, and they were flirting with the play-in until 2 days ago.
Yeah,
this is a team that's certainly in a better spot than, say, Phoenix, and Phoenix thought they were a contender. So I think we are where Houston was 2 years ago.
Mm. Okay.
You know, you've got young pieces. You have to see how that shakes out. And what you need. And you could F around and be like Atlanta and end up with Cooper Flagg. Get the number one pick in the draft. Anything's possible. But I don't even know who Portland would draft, essentially. I don't know who they need to step in right now and who that person would supplant.
Would you Chauncey your coach? Sorry.
Oh, my bad. No, go ahead.
Sorry.
Doesn't appear so.
I didn't think
Doesn't
so.
Doesn't appear so. Yeah,
I didn't think so.
I like Chauncey, though. Hmm. I think he's done a good job. I was not Team Chauncey until this year. This is a top three defensive rating team since the All-Star break as well, playing awesome defense. Just really good at becoming pesky and getting into the passing lanes and making everything difficult. Good team defense. Like I said, there's an identity. It doesn't sound like from everyone that I talk to that's really close to the organization that he will be back. Maybe it's a Michael Malone. Maybe it's a Taylor Jenkins. There's a couple of coaching vacancies that I wouldn't hate Portland at least exploring.
The guy makes a little bit too much money than I'm probably would want. And he's a little bit too much of a shoot first point guard than I probably want. But what y'all want for Anthony Simons?
Oh, he's got to get out of here. He's stunting the growth of Scoot. He's stunting the growth of the team, I think, in general. I mean, you need probably a first-round pick for him.
Come on, man.
How many players y'all got worth the first-round pick?
What is he averaging?
Yeah, he's a good ball player. But look, all right, how about we give you...
He's averaging 20 points a game. His three-point shooting numbers are down this year. 20 points a game score. What do you get for a 20-point a game score?
I don't know, but I just realized you might finish with a better record than Phoenix, and that's incredible.
Damn.
That's what I'm trying
That's
to
incredible.
Say.
The Suns are 35 and 43. The Blazers are 35 and 44.
Mm. And we have our own draft pick.
And the Suns have Bradley Beal. That was a shot. I like Brad. That was me.
Everybody just catching strays today.
We gotta
man.
Go. That's my bad.
My goodness. My bad.
We love you, TK.
We'll love you back. Talk to y'all soon.
Oh, right, she was about to fire something off. You want to fire it off real quick?
I was just gonna say that I think we play our dubs to end the season.
Oh, Portland does? No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Either that or Lakers.
Well, we just need our Dubs to take care of business tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Take care of business tomorrow.
Tonight.
Is it tonight?
Tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, take care of it tonight then. Yeah. All right.
You look phenomenal. Love the spring colors.
Thanks, TK. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
I'm for real. See you later.
Okay. I still can't tell if she's being sarcastic. We'll come back. We'll get back into the Sacramento Kings. Actually, we will. Let's touch on a couple of things that we just might not get to the rest of the day.
Okay.
We got a national champion.
Yes.
And the Giants finally lost.
Oh.
And the A's lost again.
The A's
can't win in Sacramento.
They haven't had an even first inning since they got here.
Not at all. We'll come back. Steve and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. And he's trying to get things done again.
Complex is really going to be mad at me after. Like, this guy won't leave me alone.
Complex is going to be mad at both of us. I wish these two idiots would just do the show that I asked them to do and leave me alone. Man, yeah, they be making us work here.
Yeah.
But that's all right. That's all right.
Hey, did you see, you know, people, all right, I'm being tongue-in-cheek, everybody. I'm just being a little S-starter. But all the people are like, oh, ISO basketball. You need to move the ball around. Just one guy happening, having the ball at the end of the games. It's just, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You see what happens when you try to run a play at the end of a game?
I think,
You see what happens?
I think your boy cheesed up right there, though.
No, they.
My lights got a little too bright right there, I think. You overthought that one.
The guy, they were all over. They just showed it. They were all over the shot. The shot had no chance. It was going to get sent to where Charles Barkley was sitting if he would have shot it.
Well, it might have been a better outcome than what actually happened because yeah. I ain't never seen a game end like that.
We're talking about NBA basketball. We're going to play for the NBA players. The college, those last few minutes of that game was disgusting.
By the way. Okay.
Well, I thought he was a little, I saw your tweet. You're a little harsh on the last
three minutes. Hell no. That was gross. That was hot dog water. That was awful. That was disgusting.
It wasn't good.
It was drama, sure, but it was not good basketball.
Get the ball in the hands of your best player and let him go to work.
Yeah, there's a difference between a good game and a close game.
Yeah, that was a close game.
I think that was a close game. There was nothing good about that Florida.
That game, I will say, it was really, really physical. I appreciated mm-hmm. that. Those boys was getting after it, and I think that played a role in some of the offensive execution. Because I was watching it with Reese, and I was like, yo, this game is physical.
Mm-hmm.
This is not no game for no punks. Like, this game is physical. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you have that and the way the refs end up letting them play, you're going to get some questionable offense sometimes, especially at the college level.
Shout out Ralph Sampson, too. We're sorry. Look really sad.
What happened?
He just looked really sad on the sideline.
Why was he? Oh, Kelvin Sampson.
Kelvin, who's Ralph?
Who's Ralph? Virginia.
Who's Ralph Sampson? Was he on the sideline?
He's an NBA player.
Yeah.
How the hell before I pulled that one?
I don't know. That's pretty funny.
Kelvin Sampson.
Kelvin deserves to look sad.
Yeah, Kelvin.
Like, Houston has had some heartbreak. Mm. They've lost virtually everywhere in the tournament.
Yeah.
National championships, Final Fours, Elite Eight, like, they have lost everywhere without winning at all.
Yeah. That's tough. And he's been in the game for, I think, 40 here. Plus years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was his shot to, well, that was his latest shot. Cause I was looking at one of the articles. They are favored to be number one next year. Houston, he went crazy in the transfer portal or whatever, but you just never know, you know, Yeah. And now that situation, they had that game, you know, to a certain degree, you're up, I think as much as 14,
12. Half. Yeah. You were 12. 12 in the second half.
In the second half. And kind of let that one slip away, and that was tough. I thought that was I understand what Jesse was saying, and I
just feel bad for the guy.
I thought it was a great game, though. Like, I loved the way they were competing. It wasn't great execution.
It wasn't
college
pretty.
Basketball is
yeah,
an acquired
it
taste.
Was yeah it wasn't pretty yeah. Like that, and maybe you watch more college basketball than Jesse and I do, so you're kind of used to the ebbs and flows of the game. Like, it's not, if you watch, you know, couple hundred NBA games a year, and then, you know, tap in for the tournament without, you know, the major stars out. Right. It's a little, it's different. Like even you know, you see a lot of this with Dukes and some of the, but like when Duke is playing, you're watching Cooper Flagg. Mm-hmm. Right? Your eyes kind of, yeah, your eyes kind of train on him because you know he's an NBA player.
Yeah.
Watching last night was like, I was trying to double screen it for a while, and then, you know, the Kings were playing so well, I was like, I need to, like, if because in my head I'm thinking, if the Kings win this, like, we're not giving this national title game any attention. So I kind of closed the iPad and just went to it when the game ended. And I part of that was just because this is, I'm just, you're talking about how physical it was. I was just like, I'm not enjoying this. Mm. This is a tough watch. Mm. And those last few minutes.
I need my threes, bro. I need my threes. Get the threes up.
All because they're running plays.
That's what I'm telling you.
Running plays at the end of the game.
Let them dudes go one-on-one. You know, it's one of the frustrations I have, like, in NBA games, too, when, like, Tatum has the ball, and then they bring Horford
first. Virginia ran a play.
Virginia.
That was a play. Bang.
Which one?
Jay Wright. That was a play? That was a play.
That was, yes.
That was a play.
Yes, that was. You're right. That was not.
The end. No, I'm right. The end.
No, that was not. Everybody's got to touch the ball.
Well, no, it wasn't that. No, it wasn't that. Yeah, it wasn't that. Right.
Get the ball in your best
friend's hands. Need to swing the ball around here with 7 seconds.
Look, they put a hot potato on that last possession.
Well, that was the play.
Well, I think some of them young men are.
That's what I said. It's
not
their moment.
I think that was the play. Because if you look at the two bigs, they went and set an elevator screen for old boy. So you pass it, you pass it over to the sideline, they bring it back, and they go and set the elevator. That was a play.
Well,
and that's too much going on.
There you have it. You saw what Houston did yesterday. That's why DeMar's got to go ISO from now on.
So you know what's funny? You know what's funny about that? Because I didn't realize that play. As Kenny said that, I didn't realize it till after. As Kenny was saying that, the play was being shown on the TV. I thought you were going in a different direction.
What's that?
The Kings scored 127 last night. Zach LaVine had 43. DeMar DeRozan had 37. DeMontis Sabonis had a triple-double with 10 assists.
Good job, Domas.
Sorry, Kenny. I lost you some money yesterday.
Oh, geez.
Sorry, Kenny.
The Kings.
We'll get to that.
The Kings had 20 assists in that game.
I didn't even realize that.
127 points. 20 assists.
Man, now that you mentioned, there was a lot of off the dribble one-on-one score from Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
I mean, and even to that point, like, that's an anomaly, I think. You know what I'm saying? To only have 20 assists.
Yeah, Detroit had 30.
they hit the number.
Right.
That, like I said, that's an anomaly. You gotta move the ball and, you know, get the defense to shift. I 100% agree with that. I just think in crunch time, a lot of times you get the ball to your best players.
Well, don't run the player. You'll wind up jumping in the air and just dropping the ball. Kenny hates poor coaches guy. And he hates plays.
Poor guy.
That's tough. That is a tough. That's going down like looking.
Well,
that's like you had nothing.
Not to mention he turned the ball over before. The play before, he dribbled off his knee.
Yeah.
That was all bad. Very competitive, though. Great game. I stayed away. I did the very rare, and sometimes it feels impossible to stay away from that game. I didn't start watching that game till 9 o'clock at night.
Mm.
You can't even go like on Twitter or anything like that.
You can't go on Twitter. You can't look at text messages.
Damn, you can't even pick up your phone.
Well, you can't look at text messages from like people that you know might be watching the game.
Yeah, but you don't look at text messages anyway.
Not as much, but
how many times has KC responded to a text that we sent like 12 hours ago, and then he says something in response, and we're like, what's Kenny talking about?
He didn't
about?
Even reply to my text about the Rivercats game with the Odyssey team and all that.
Well, no.
That's right. We're going to a baseball game, guys.
That one kind of hurt. That one kind of hurt. Going I'm not going to lie. Like, this is a bit, but like that one hurt my heart.
The company is taking us to a baseball game on a Wednesday. At 12:05.
I was looking. I saw the email. I was like, oh, yeah, like baseball, free tickets. Like, why not? Like, yeah, it's Crystal. She want to go.
That's crazy.
What's that noon?
What's funny about that?
That is crazy.
What's funny about that is, like, the idea of even going doesn't exist because there's a day later on this month that we have to take off. I think it's a Monday.
Yeah.
We have to take that day off to do a company-related thing.
In case still not I'm on the email list for that, by the way.
No, we're not.
So
no.
Tune in to Casey and JT that day.
We're not on the email list. The
that is pretty wild.
They could have easily just had a 705 Rivercats game, but no. Let's do noon.
12:05.
Even like 5 or 4 o'clock or something.
You know why? You know why it's 12:05?
They don't want people. Well.
No. Say it. Some of these jackasses
yeah,
out
sales
here.
Sales won't show up if
that's
it's not
right.
Between hours.
That's
there.
Right.
Sales
if
won't
it's
show up.
Not during work hours, these holes aren't coming. So look, we can do it at 7:05 and dealing with KC and inside everybody can come, or we can do it at 12:05 and our little sales team and all of our 9-to-5ers can show up.
You're treating us like the redheaded stepchild.
Hey, that's no, crazy. We're gonna have a field trip to the baseball game. All the sports people stay home.
What'd you say?
To the baseball game and the sports.
All the sports people stay your asses at the radio station.
Oh man.
We'll come back, man. We got more basketball to talk about. We got more Kings basketball to talk about. We got Jason Jones to talk to. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. The local guy asking, D'Lo, we VIP at Monday Night Raw. The local guy, you are. My punk ass doesn't even have tickets.
Please email me back.
We both need tickets.
Yeah.
And an approved day off from 102.5.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Which means.
Or else we'll be watching it on Netflix.
Yeah, man. Log into Netflix. Oh, boy. Golden One Center sure looks fun.
Might just have to grab tickets for that one. Yeah, you can't miss out on The Rock, right?
Man, did you guys?
Ticket prices are kind of crazy.
No, they are crazy.
Did you guys talk about it during? I don't know. Well, it doesn't matter because we're on that radio now. That, I guess, it's been confirmed Roman will be there?
Yeah, Roman will be there. That. Yeah, they advertised it. Roman will be there.
Roman ain't been in Sacramento in a long time. It's been a long time since Roman been in Sacramento.
Local guy in the chatty house. How the hell are you guys not getting PTO? It's a 4-year battle.
Yeah, that's not a thing. Also, we've really been pushing our luck with Complex lately.
Yeah.
Kenny's been
just bothered him again.
Kenny's been to his office 4 times in the last 2 days.
Yeah. Really pushing our luck. And I haven't even told him about Friday yet, so it's not good.
He's sick of us.
He is about done.
What do they say? Better ask for forgiveness, get forgiveness rather than permission.
Yeah, just, well,
well, no,
just
this is
show
one,
up
well,
the
yeah,
raw.
This is one we kind of got to ask for permission for. We can't be on Netflix like, hey,
show up for raw.
There's a lot of tickets available. God bless it. These joints is expensive.
Yeah, no. The
they all
show.
They all listed as official platinum. Can a brother just get a regular ticket? Man, a standard ticket. Section 121.
It's at least triple digits. I know that.
At least triple digits, fam.
What are you on the expensive resale?
I'm not. No, I'm not on resale. Hold up. Section 121. Row J, standard ticket. This is not a resale. 374.
Come on.
Okay, that's crazy.
Come on.
374.
I was looking at Insert Ticket Company here the other day, and it was like 130.
Here, let me move up. True. Here, I'll move up to second row. Two. That says it's official platinum. Such a scam. Cheapest ticket I found right now. 218 row M. 190.
That's crazy. Yeah, they doing a little too much.
Yeah,
they're doing a little too much, and I love WWE.
I got a 108 over here.
You got a 108?
I got a 108. I'm not telling nobody, though.
Man, I don't see a 108 anywhere.
They kind of bugging, man. They kind of bugging.
What the fees are looking like, though.
They kind of bugging. Let me see if I can find something. There it goes.
Shout out Vivid Seats. Come sponsor the show.
You talking, and we're only talking lower bowl, right?
Oh no! I was looking.
No, I was looking at upper bowl.
Sorry, never mind.
That 190 was upper bowl.
I'm gonna go watch with D-Lo then.
118 is the cheapest I see to get in price. 118.
Are y'all on Ticketmaster or a different website?
No,
different.
I go on Vivid. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm on Game Time.
Those are the top two. Well, right there.
118 to sit where the local guy sits.
Oh man, with his back against the end of the Golden One Center. Those are my favorite pictures. Those are my favorite pictures when a local guy is up there by himself and in row Z or whatever it is.
To your point, though, Section 121, row P, 501 on the resale, obviously. But come on, man.
We can't even use the YouTube super chats for this.
No.
We can't.
Some guy in Philadelphia's got it. He's gonna be at Raw next week.
Well, maybe we would have been able to use Prize Picks. But I got fed bad information.
To be honest, I kind of let you know, like, hey, this is all vibes right here.
I didn't take a win last night, man. Domantas Sabonis went crazy last night. And Jalen Duren didn't give me the rebounds I was looking for. The other two hit, but it don't matter because I'm back tonight. And it's not Bean Money, but I think I'm going to load up on our dubs handling business tonight. I don't have their lineup just yet, but I think that's the way I'm going to go. Matter of fact, I talked crazy about the Bay Area. I didn't talk crazy about him, but I talked about the Bay Area during the break. Hell, an all Bay Area day. I'm going to put our dubs on there, and then I'm going to put some Giants baseball on there. How about that? You know what I mean? I should put something on there for Tatis hitting the Cal Sturz building.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I should put some on there. That was a blast last night. My God. Goodness, that's my boy too. And we got to, that's what, I didn't go to the game, but that's what we pay money for, to see him do the little hop at third base and and go. So yeah, I'm gonna put the lineup together, man. It's gonna be an all Bay Area lineup today. Go to prizepicks.com. Well, go download the Prize Picks app. All right, put in the promo code KIFM, get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM, $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run your game. Let's go.
I hate this.
Let's go.
I hate this so much.
Let's go, Zay. Zay back in first place.
So stupid.
Let's go.
I'm trying to put together this crazy demon line. Oh, this isn't bad.
I love when you go with the demon line.
Yeah, but this is crazy. Steph against Phoenix, 31.5. Luka against OKC.
Okay.
He's 34.5.
Damn.
Shea versus LA is 34.5. That $20 fee pays out 470. That doesn't even seem realistic.
Damn.
That's crazy. Those are crazy points.
That is a lot of points. That
you're getting
Luka one.
34 plus from Shea and Luka.
Yeah, that Luka one going crazy too, especially since he's gonna save all his buckets for tomorrow.
Well, I'm more worried about them guys. They were all questionable until like an hour ago. They're all playing tonight. Luka, King and Austin Reeves. They're all playing tonight, which makes me wonder.
Well, no,
are they not playing tomorrow?
LeBron and Reeves ain't playing tomorrow.
No.
Matter of fact, Luka gonna take all the shots tomorrow. So you can play tonight, guys, because Luka gonna take all the shots. We have a couple of things going on real quick before we get back to sports.
Found a fourth.
Run your game has given us a super chat. You know what I mean? Shout out to them. I guess Philly, they'll be able to go to WrestleMania now with the extra couple dollars they get here. And then we got Filthy McNasty saying he was first on the Run Your Game. I see him right here. He's with the Run Your Game.
It's too late. Play has been run. It's too late. Play has been run.
Zabo wins,
and the league is
McNasty,
over.
Filthy McNasty, that one does not qualify. There are no fire emojis on there.
Wow.
That's why it couldn't be first.
Wow.
So Filthy, he was trying to get his first win of the season. I see him trying. I see him grinding. But, yeah, need the fire emojis. Zabo said I inbounded them all.
I'm getting desperate to make up for that night at the kitchen.
Uh-oh.
I found it.
Help D'Lo find his date.
I found Trae Young at an 11.5 assist demon against Orlando.
Did you see the stats? Did you see what he's been doing?
Yeah.
It's
I'm gonna submit it.
Oh man, all this, demon! I love the all demon lineup.
This is dumb. It's a $20 buy-in for $840.
Pay for half just of that cheap, kitchen.
Okay,
you pay for well, for half of that night.
Well,
it's a pair of KC shoes, though.
But yeah, one of his bad pairs.
That's true.
I got some shoes today. Shout out to my man. He looked it up.
What'd you get today?
I don't know if you guys have seen the I think they're Nike React. They're Nike's version of Crocs. And people have been going crazy over them.
Okay.
Like, oh, these things just so comfortable. They're amazing. I got to get da-da-da-da-da. And I'd asked the homie. I was like, yo, man, you seen these? I wish Jordan would have made those. He's like, oh, I got a couple extra pair, man. I'll give you one of mine.
Wow, how nice.
And I got
must,
I
must
I,
be nice.
Just it was almost before I was going to work, so I didn't really like walk around, but slid them on real quick and it's comfortable. It's whatever.
It's so cool you got Michael Jordan's like number on speed dial.
It wasn't Michael Jordan.
It wasn't who else
oh, it was Phil Knight.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Phil Knight, Phil Knight either.
It's Phil Knight. Just like, hey Phil, shoot your boy.
It's not true. None of this is true. It's not accurate.
I'd be like, hey, can you shoot me those pair of shoes right there? He's like, yes, sir, it'll be $50.
He happened to have some an extra pair, a couple extra pair, and that's what happened there. It's not like I just asked him. He just
well, yeah. All of
happen.
My friends have extra shoes lying around that they could send me that are my size.
They should shoot them your way.
Well, they don't. They don't. Let's get back to the Kings. Anything on the Giants' loss yesterday?
Nah, man. Shout out. Snaps. I hate to see that. It was a great pitcher's duel.
Well, they weren't going to win the rest of their game, so it's fine.
Once again, that was your opinion.
Well, not with that attitude.
It's up for debate. But, yeah, I'd never like to see the Giants lose, but I was happy to see Hunter Green with that performance. What a dominant performance. He was the new Strasburg, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. about 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. They had Tommy John surgery. He kind of fallen off, and then came back last year, had an all-star season, and the performance he had last night was sensational. He was throwing 1-on-1 in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. He was an out short, or maybe two out shorts of the complete game shutout.
These pitchers are just robots now, huh? Like you said, like you throw 100 ninth inning, no problem.
Man.
I remember when Aroldis Chapman came into the league at first, and he started mm-hmm. throwing 100, like, oh, wow, this is insane. Now it's like everyone does it.
This is what they do. And I think on the broadcast, Kruk and Kuiper were talking about that was the first time he had ever pitched into the ninth inning. He had never pitched in the ninth inning before. And he wasn't able to get the complete game shutout. But, damn, Giants almost came back. My boy Elio Ramos hit a rope to left field. It was caught. But, you know, they'll get back at it today. No big deal. They'll get back at it today. And shout out to the A's. They still have not gone to their first at bat. Tied. It's poor Lawrence Butler every time.
Why can everybody hit in this ballpark except the A's?
Well, Soderstrom be hitting.
Yeah,
Soderstrom, that boy balling.
A's are just going down 2-4-0 every first inning. Now.
Every first inning, that's crazy. And then, like I said, my boy Tatis, that was a bomb to left field. Bomb. I was surprised at how many Padre fans were. I didn't know there were that many Padre fans in the area, but a lot of Padre fans. And not another sellout yesterday, 9,000 people. That was the official attendance. Mm-hmm. I do want to be on record saying I am a little surprised by that. I am a little surprised that it hasn't been 14,000 every night. And maybe I was just wrong. Now, there's a couple things going on. Number one, baseball in general. Number two, I think the whole let me buy these season tickets and resell them has really hurt the visuals mm-hmm. of people being in the stands. Because mm-hmm. we talk about it all the time. We'll just go on Ticketmaster. Like tonight, mm-hmm. I can go get – I don't need your resale tickets. Like, I can go get $30 tickets.
Yeah.
And I think that was a little overstated when people start buying up those season tickets and thinking they could resell it. So – but yeah, I'm a little shocked that I'm still giving it time. It's still April. I think in the summertime it'll be a little different, but I'm shocked that they're not 14,000 every night.